Yeah, I've heard. Me too. I've heard him eat.
All right. Oh, announcements. So what she's saying is that after this next meeting, it's going to be the last senior saints meeting, unless somebody steps up and says, you know what, I feel God's leading me to do that. So again, if you feel led to keep up the senior saints, and you're not going to do it by yourself, you'll have people helping you, but somebody needs to be the spearhead of this thing. So if anybody in here feels led of God to be the spearhead of this senior saints, it doesn't have to be every month. Right now we're doing it every quarter. But again, somebody, it's time for somebody to pick up the baton and keep on going. So if you feel led to do this, again, you're not going to have to do it by yourself. You got people that will stand up there and help you, but somebody's got to lead it. So if you feel led, just come see Sister Dorothy, come see me, go see Jeannie, somebody that we can write it down somewhere. And if you're just considering it, write it down so I can aggravate you to death if you're just considering it. You know, not a guilt trip, just aggravate you to death. Okay, or guilt trip, amen. All right, Sister Vicki. Amen. Amen. Also, y'all be praying. The Lord's been putting on my heart and talking to Sister Vicky too, but starting something here at this church, over at the Fellowship Hall, maybe one night a week, and not sure exactly what it's going to be called, but it's going to be not just like a recovery, but it's recovery and total transformation. And I've been working on it, especially since she told me that it's just been, I can't get it out of my head. And so that's coming up. Y'all be praying about that too, because we want God to lead it, not us, but God. And when he does it, it's going to be taken care of. Amen? You got your Bible, say amen. Before you say anything, though, before you get it to read, this is an oldie. I mean, the first time I heard this, I laughed so hard, I kicked the slat out of my crib. But still, it's cool. There were three fathers in the hospital waiting room, waiting for their babies to be born. The first nurse comes out and tells the first father, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." He said, "Hey, great, I'm the manager of the Minnesota Twins. What do you know?" The second nurse comes out and tells the father, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." He said, "Wow, isn't that amazing? I work for 3M. The third father runs out screaming out the front door, and the third nurse comes out and says, "Well, where's the third father?" One of the fathers said, "Oh, he just ran out the door screaming." They said, "Why?" I said, "Because he works for 7-Up. Yeah, he was kind of scared about that one. Amen. We're going to have some fun today. This is the final installment of the 7 Downs. Amen. But we're going to talk about 7-Ups. Amen. We talked about, first was kind of heavy, really, really heavy. This is going to be heavy. If you haven't been doing this, it may be heavy. It may be an ouchie, okay? But it'll be a shouty ouchie. Anybody say shouty ouchie? This is a shouty ouchie. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Romans chapter 15. This is our lead scripture, Romans chapter 15. God is so awesome. Y'all pray for everyone in this place that needs a touch in their body, not just Bethany, everybody. Pray for us all, you know, because every family in here has needs in their family, and they need God to touch. And so we're just going to ask God to keep on touching and to keep on moving like he always has and always will. He cannot be stopped. Somebody say that. He cannot be stopped. Y'all like to stand for the reading of the word, Romans chapter 15. Y'all stand for the last time until the altar call. Then y'all can run. Right up here, not out the door, up here. Amen. Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." And if you think about all the things Sister Vicky was talking about, there's all these opportunities right there for those that are strong to have the opportunity to help those that are bear the infirmities of the weak. And this word infirmities can mean being addicted to drugs and being addicted to alcohol, to be homeless, or to be going to bed hungry. So, and not to please ourselves, that every one of us please his neighbor for his good, the edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, "The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Stretch forth your hand this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that there's no one like you. No one like you. We thank you, God, that you've got what we need. This day is your day, and we're looking to you, God, because there is a lot of people that are hurting. There are people that are hurting physically, Lord. There's people that their bodies are just racked with pain. And then there's the caregivers. They're racked with pain too. And Lord, help us, Lord, to reach out to them all, Father. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. So we're going to start, this church is going to start a program, some kind of a program for those that are recovering from alcohol and drugs. And we're also going to have a meeting, I'm not sure, it might be on Sunday afternoons, but it's going to be a meeting for those that are experiencing sickness and or the caregivers. We're going to have that for them too, that we can go have a little group, that we can stay together and kind of help each other out, because you know, you think you might, when you're going through this, you kind of feel alone. Amen. You don't have to feel alone. Somebody loves you and is there for you. Amen. There's nobody in here should ever have to feel alone. Somebody cares. Just know that. Every time, somebody does care. So again, just a couple of slides. I do mean a couple from the last couple of weeks. God's been so good to us. Amen. Amen. So again, fear is epidemic. Amen. Jesus warned us that in the last days, hearts will be failing them, men's hearts failing them for fear. It amazes me when I look and I hear, even when I'm walking down the halls of the cancer ward and what I hear in the cancer ward. But some of the most strongest people I've ever heard in my entire life are the people that have the cancer. They are amazing to hear these people and to hear their testimony and how they're trusting God and they're standing strong on God and how they just keep on moving and moving and moving. And one day I walked through and I just got to telling me this stuff about Bethany. I was hearing it. And then I walked down to the next pod as I was walking through. And I heard them talking about the next patient. And I said, are they talking about Bethany? And I found out, no, there was somebody in the next hallway that was going through similar stuff that Bethany was going through. And so, again, it just let me know that there's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people need to know that they're not by themselves. Somebody cares. Amen? So fear, the cross of fear, fervently erodes all rest. And of course, fear has become that epidemic. Amen. If fear is allowed to persist, that's sad, because there's a lot of depressed folks around this world today, and there's a lot of depressed folks around you. Some of the depressed folks, you don't even know they're depressed. You know why? Because they cover it up so good. Come on now. There could be a person sitting right beside you, you think it's got it all together, and they're depressed. And so, really, it's so important that when you see somebody, you pray for them, you trust God, and if He's leading you to pray for somebody, you do that, because whether you know it or not, they may be the one that is depressed. Look, the Lord has seven downs that we might have ups. Amen. So here they are real quick, and I love this. Look. Y'all do this. Isn't that cool? Y'all know how crazy y'all look out there? All right. Downs and up, downs and up, downs and up. So look, the Lord looked down. Amen. He saw we were in trouble. He came down to help us out. He laid down His life and He went to the cross. And so He redeemed us. But to make the redemption full, He went down into hell and He took the keys of death and hell. So we didn't have to be afraid of that anymore. And then then afterwards He went to heaven and He sat down beside the Father, meaning He didn't have to do anything else. That was done. Now He reaches down to us as we have need, and He's coming down to take us back. Amen. Now, of course, Christ did His part. Y'all say He's already done His part. All right, now that He's done His part, now it's time for us to do our part. Look at somebody and say, now it's time for you to do your part. I just caught somebody looking at somebody else doing their part. It's just funny. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody else and tell them it's time to do your part. Amen. So there's seven ups. When knowing all the seven downs that Christ did, there's seven ups. Now remember, hopefully this is going to be kind of fun. If this isn't fun, remember, if it's an ouchie, it's not a pouty ouchie, it's a shouty ouchie. Amen. How many of you ever had a pouty ouchie? I don't like pouty ouchies. Amen. But I sure like shouty ouchies. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Get ready, get ready, get ready. So here are the seven ups. Number one is wake up. Wake up. Amen. Well, you have to decide before you ever get out of bed that you're going to have a good day. Today, when you went into this service, do you know how this service has affected you? Honestly, from the very beginning, a lot of it had to do with how you felt about it when you got here. Did you get up and say, well, I'm just going to go to keep my wife quiet?
I'm just going to go to keep my husband quiet. I'm just going to go because they need to see me there. If that's what you're feeling, I'm telling you, it's going to affect the whole service. Amen? I get up this morning, I got up and said, you know what? I thank God. I said, it's another chance to come to church, another chance to worship you, another chance to get with my friends and my family, another chance just to glorify your name. Amen? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Oh, come on, y'all. Wake up. Tell them, wake up. You know, you have a choice. Every last one of us has a choice. You can let your emotions drive your actions. I've done it before. Every now and then I do it again. I know I'm the only one. I'm just talking to hear myself talk because y'all don't do this. You let your emotions drive your actions. If you let your emotions drive your actions, then your faith will flip-flop. It'll go up and down, up and down. God can, well, maybe he can't. Well, he was, but he's not. Well, he did, but he didn't. Well, I was feeling good, but now I'm feeling bad. If you're not careful, you're going to run a roller coaster that Satan's got designed just for you because you let your emotions drive your actions. Now, how many want to live by faith? Then you cannot allow your emotions to drive your actions. If you're going to live by faith, then you've got to let your actions drive your emotions. There's a difference. My actions driving my emotions means it's not determined how I'm going to act by how I feel. It's not determined how I'm going to get up and do things by what I see in front of me. But instead, I choose my actions to follow the Word of God, to trust the Word of God, to trust the power of God, to trust the power of prayer. And when you do that, when you let your actions drive your emotions, and you tell your emotions, get down. Get back down out of there. Amen? My mom used to say, look, for the first 5 years of my life, I thought my name was Get Down. My middle name was from there. Get down from there, Linton. That's who I thought I was. Get down from there. Tell your emotions, get down from there. I choose not to be led by my emotions because I choose not to live a life that flip-flops up and down, back and forth, left and right. Never know if I'm going to be all right. Never know how it's going to be. There's people I used to work with at Procter & Gamble, the people I worked with at Fountain, I could look at them and tell what kind of day they were having and how I was going to have to respond to them before I ever got to them. You can look at them and tell. Is there people you can look at and tell? You see them coming to you at Walmart and you try to hide in the freezer section? Well, Brother David, what are you doing all up here in the peas? Oh, I was just trying to find the best date. No, I was trying to hide from you. You know, this guy walked into the restaurant and said, asked the waitress, said, excuse me, miss. She said, yes. Yeah. Said, do you serve crabs in here? She said, sit down, sir. We'll serve anybody. You decide. That's cool, ain't it? You decide. You decide, because when I let my faith drive my actions drive my emotions, then my life is a steady life. Amen. Things happening around me is not steady, but God is steady. So first, wake up. And then secondly, how many like to get a facelift? I'm going to tell you how to get a cheap facelift. Do this. Hey, amen. Look at that. Look. I want it to be me. Amen. I want it to be the one sticking out in the crowd. Amen. Not just because I got white hair and I'm taller than a lot of people. No. Amen. And my wife looked up on some kind of internet thing and it said, I'm taller. And for my age group, people my age, I'm taller than eight or not. There's eight guys shorter than me. I'm in the 80 or 90 percentile of guys my age. Height. Then I thought about all the new guys. Look, man, I feel like a midget besides some of these guys I see now. Amen. But you know what? It don't matter. Listen, I'm going to smile. I think somebody say smile. Amen. Smile and the world smiles with you. Cry and you cry alone. Amen. You know, Brother Pollitt sent me something this morning. He said, brother, when you're faced with tears, he said, you face the sun. Because when you face the sun, this could be a mighty army.
He said, because when you face the sun with tears in your eyes, let your tears become rainbows. Wow. That was some powerful, powerful stuff. Amen. So dress up. When I'm talking about dress up, it's not what you wear. Dress up, what I mean is the best way to dress up is put on a smile. Matter of fact, some of y'all could improve your looks if you would just smile. Look at somebody and say, smile. I'm giving you permission. Tell them, smile. If you hear something cracking, I'm sorry. I can't help it. All right? Hey, amen. So look. The Bible says the Lord does not look on things man looks at. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, right? Watch this. Here we go. Watch this. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I've heard people say, I can barely make it, but I got the joy of the Lord. Look, if you got the joy of the Lord, somebody needs to notify their face. Because if you got joy, I got that joy down in my heart. All right, here you go. Watch this. That word strength, first off, that word strength means safe place, a place to run to, refuge. When I can't find, look, when I'm stuck in the middle of something, when I'm in the middle at the hospital or middle of wherever I'm at or stuck in traffic, wherever I can be, when things are driving me up the absolute wall, then you know what? I've got a safe place to run into, and that's the joy of the Lord. That's why Satan wants to keep you so aggravated all the time. That's why he wants to stay on your nerves all the time, because if he can stay on your nerves, if he can keep you aggravated, he can keep you away from the joy of the Lord, because he knows if you get the joy in your heart, you got a place to run to. You got a place that's going to be awesome. But not only is it a safe place and a refuge, it is a stronghold. It is a fortress. It's an impenetrable fortress. So when you learn to keep the joy of the Lord in your heart, you dress up with the joy, and then bring what they want to bring. God's got this. Amen? So first dress up, or first wake up, then dress up. Here, I don't like using this word, but for this one, it's perfect. Here it goes. Come on, where'd you go, buddy? Here we go. Did I turn it off? Come on. There we go. Get ready. I don't like using this word. Tell my boys not to use it when they were little, but I'm going to use it right now. Shut up. Listen carefully. Learn to say nice things. Learn to listen. Wow. I was talking to a guy the other day, and honestly, by the time he got through talking, I was wore out just listening to him. Here's what he just wouldn't be quiet. I was thinking, good Lord, do you talk in your sleep? It was just, it never stopped. And then all I could hear was, watch this, enough of, and then here's what he said. Enough of me talking about me, now you talk about me for a little while. Oh, he didn't say this exact words, but you know, that's what I heard. Amen. You know, when you talk to somebody and you know they're not listening because they're not even paying attention, and they're just waiting for you to take a breath so you can keep saying, start talking again. Listen. I got two very spiritual words. If you know somebody like that, and if you've ever been like that, and I get like that every now and then, so I have to ask God to help me. I get like that. Do y'all ever get like that? Yesterday, Linda was trying to talk to me, and she finally said, if you'll quit talking, I'll answer. You just asked me 10 questions. Before I can answer the first, you've asked me another one. She said, it's like 10, and you're still talking. And I said, well, I'm just having a talk-a-thon with myself. She said, well, I'm not going to donate. So watch this. Watch. Here it goes. God gave us two ears and one mouth. This is so old. This is another one I kicked out the slats in my crib. God gave us two ears and one mouth because he wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. So watch. Here it goes. Get ready. We're having fun. I hope it's going to be fun today. There you go. He who guards his lips guards his soul. Now, I want you to think about something. Look, when you think about soul, it's not just, listen carefully now,
When you talk about soul, I want you to think about something. He who guards his lips guards his soul. This is more than just your salvation before God. He who watches what he says guards his mind and his ability to think. That's what soul is. Not just before God, but it's also your mind, your ability to think. And if you're always talking negative and you're always talking bad, you're going to start thinking negative and you're going to think bad. If all you can ever talk about is how bad somebody else is, you'll never see the good in them. You'll never think there any got any good in them, because all you can think of is they're bad. Because you won't control this. So learn. The Bible tells us to be slow to speak, and quick to listen, and slow to get mad. So here it is. So here we go. Get ready. We're getting ready to move on. Somebody say good. Get ready. I told you, isn't this fun? Okay, good. Stand up. Ready? Here it goes. Stand up for what you believe in. Who's that guy? DC can remember that guy's name. You're tipping. Yeah. Yeah, we have a guy that was friends with him in Williamston. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. You got to stand for what is right. Uphold your family name. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Man, I love that song. It was so awesome. Aaron Tippin, that's who that guy's name was. You got to stand for something. If you don't stand, you're going to stay sad. The Bible says, woe unto him who everybody likes him. I said, Lord, that don't make sense. Woe unto him that everybody likes him. Then it hit me. If everybody likes him, then he has become a people pleaser. Uh-oh. And if you become a people pleaser, you can't be a God pleaser. When the prophet came to Saul and said, what is this? I hear a bleeping of the sheep, and you got the king here. You got all this stuff. You were supposed to destroy all these from Agag. Destroy them all. He said, well, but the people wanted to spare the best of the sheep and the best of everything to give to God. And he said, but God said, rut row. So if you got some enemies, that's okay. Don't feel bad about if you got some people who don't like you. Amen. I tell you, because if everybody likes, somebody says, well, they don't like you too good. And I say, well, I still like them. Sometimes I like them to stay away from them, but still like them. And I'm playing. I don't say I stay away from them. I just thought I'd throw it out to see if y'all were listening. I tell somebody to say, well, you know what? They don't like you so much. I say, well, you know, woe unto him that everybody likes you, because that means that honestly, you're just pleasing people. I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. Amen. So now, stand on what you believe in. If you do this, you'll feel better. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good. Amen. So then, not finally. I'm getting close though. I'm almost through here. Somebody say, praise up. Now here we go. Here we go. Now this here is probably one of the. Let me get the King James Version here, because it used to mess me up. I would say this, and I hear preachers say this, and I get all fired up, and I would get saying it, and I would think, but you know what? That doesn't make sense. So y'all turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Now, y'all might already know this. It took me a while to figure this out. But this is perfect right in here. Perfect. When I was a young Christian, and the preacher would say, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help, I'd get all fired up and start shouting, my help's coming from the hills. And then I began to study the Bible and find out that's not what he's saying. Matter of fact, I'll put it up here for you. Look up. Ready? I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? That's what he's asking. I'm looking to the hills, and is that where my help comes from? And then look at the next verse. And it says, my help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So why am I looking to the created stuff to take care of me when the one that created the hills is saying, I want to help you? Wow. The sturdiest, steadiest thing the earth's got, unmovable, unshakable in the eyes of man, is nothing to compare to the one that created them. Amen? So look, I will look into the hills from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, never slumbers or never sleeps. Matter of fact, here's what I try to do when I'm having a hard time and there's something going on, thinking about Bethany or thinking about things that's going on, thinking about whatever, you know, just got through doing some schoolwork and I don't know about y'all, but when you're taking psychology, what to do is they play with your mind the whole time. And so by the time, you know, I have psychoanalyzed myself about 40 times in the last couple of years. You know what I decided? I'm one sick puppy. No, I didn't. No, I'm playing about that. But they kept saying, you're going to psychoanalyze yourself. You're going to analyze yourself. And so I throw all these papers about how I see things, about what I see, and blah, blah, blah. And then I write papers about some of y'all. Y'all didn't even know that. I'm glad. Like the woman come up in church one day. This old woman come up, and she looked over at the usher, and she said, sir, can I get me a big old church? She says, I'd like to get a seat. She says, well, he said, well, sure. She said, I want one right on the front row. And he said, ma'am, you don't want one on the front row. Our pastor is so boring. Said he'll put you to sleep in just a matter of minutes, and you'll be, you know, you just don't want the front seat. She said, sir, do you know who I am? He said, no, ma'am, I don't. She says, I am the pastor's mother. And he said, ma'am, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, praise God, and run off. Okay. He will not let you stumble. He's watching over you. Look. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look up. Ready? Ain't God good? We can have fun. If you can't have fun, something's wrong. Amen. Now, well, here we go. Reach up. Reach up. I'm almost through. Just about there. For something higher. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This morning's mighty army. I remember this morning's mighty army about when your dreams don't come true, when your dreams seem to be shattered. Don't worry, because God's will for your life is more powerful. His plans are more powerful than your dreams. And somebody, every now and then, somebody questioned back, and it said, I question that mighty army. And so I wrote back in Proverbs 16:9, I think it is, it said, you may make your plans, but God directs your path. And they said, oh, okay. And they took back their question mark. Amen. I said, thank you. So now watch. See, you know, when y'all get in mighty army, sometimes you think, well, he's not being very, where's the scriptures at? It's not in scriptures. He's just giving things out. You got to remember, most of what I send out, the majority of what I send out has a biblical base, but I try to put it in a way that you don't feel like I'm preaching, but instead that you'll just take it, you'll listen to it, you'll think it like this morning. And those that are spiritual will see it and go, you know what, there's a scripture that matches that. And you'll look it up and find the scripture, and that's cool. But those that don't want the scripture, they'll sit back and go, wow, that's powerful. And they'll think about it for a while. So it's all good. Ready? Get ready. For something higher, trust the Lord with all your heart. Ready? Watch this. I like the message. I love the message. Matter of fact, the guy that wrote the message, I can't think of his name right now. He's a theologian. It took him years to do this. Bono. How many have ever heard of Bono? Not Sonny Bono and Sonny and Cher. I'm talking about Bono. From not YouTube, but U2. Not YouTube, U2. He's a Christian, and he loves the message. And so he wanted to talk to the guy that was writing the message. He'd already written the New Testament. Now he's back on the Old Testament. He's writing the Old Testament. And Bono, one of the greatest contributors to people all over the world, he's awesome. He wants to meet this guy because he's in the town with him. You know what the guy that wrote the message did? He said, I have to turn him down. I don't have time to talk to Bono. And they asked his wife, said, do you realize who wants to talk to you? He says, yeah, but do you realize who's talking to me? He says, I'm translating the book of Isaiah right now. I can't be bothered by interviews. I need to get back to work. Wow. That's awesome. The man just blew me away when I was listening to that. All right, so here we go. Here we go. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Some of y'all need to hear this really bad right now. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Reach up. Amen. You see, God can see farther than you can see, and He can see clearer than you can see. He knows the beginning from the end, so you got to trust God in all of this. And then, you ready? This is the last one. Get ready. Lift up. Pray. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I heard Charles Stanley this morning. I like listening on Sunday mornings. And I heard Charles Stanley's first guy. When I get up, he's the first guy I turn to and listen to him. And he was so awesome because he was talking about getting out of the will of God and listening to God and praying and trusting God to answer prayers. And he said that he and his children and his wife, they all had a car. And said somebody ran into him and totaled his car out. And so he said their children, his children and his wife looked at him and said, okay, Dad, okay, hubby. Which car are you going to confiscate before you go buy you a car? And he said, I'm not going to buy me a car right now. This will be okay. You watch what's going to happen. And he started praying about it. And he prayed about it, and he prayed about it, and said, God, you got the perfect car for me out there somewhere. I'm going to trust you. And so I reckon he had a rental from the insurance company, but he went through the process. He didn't go out and try to find the car. And he said a guy came up to him and said, I'm not sure if he owned a car lot or what, but the guy came up to him and said, Pastor, if you could own a car, and his wife was getting on him, why don't you get a car? He said, because I haven't found the one. I don't feel like God's doing it. God hadn't led me. I don't understand. But I feel like I don't need to get in debt over this thing. I don't want to get in debt. And I don't blah, blah, blah. And he said, but God's going to do it. Watch what God does. And so a month or so later, a guy comes up to him and says, Pastor, if you could get a car, and they're at a car lot, I said, what kind would you get? And he said, I like one just like that. The next day he had a check for that car. Wow. That's powerful. Especially coming from Charles Stanley. I love Charles Stanley. Anybody like Charles Stanley? Okay, good. He's awesome. All right, ready? So watch this. Here's another one. I love it. Here's the message version of this. But it goes a little further. Watch this. Let your petitions and praises, listen carefully, shape your worries into prayers. Wow. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns before you know it. And this is the next verse. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. What's so cool about prayer? If you're taking notes, write this down. Cool thing about prayer is I know that there's always somebody ready to listen when I have a need. I might not get on the phone with y'all. I can text you and try to ask you a question. It may take you hours because you may be busy doing something. You may be trying to get a hold of me. I may be trying to get a hold of you. I'm in a hospital somewhere. You're in a nursing home somewhere. We can't get a hold of each other. You're on vacation. I'm on vacation. Something. We're traveling in traffic, can't answer back and forth. Whatever it may be. You may be in a place where they can't even get a signal. What's so cool about prayer is I know somebody's always available to listen to me. And sometimes all it takes is just knowing somebody's listening, and it'll calm you down. Amen? Just knowing they're listening will calm you down. Now, not only is there somebody always there to listen, He has the power to do something about what I'm talking about. Very few people in the world have the power to do something every time I talk to them. They have the power to do something, do what I'm talking about. Very few people. Number three, when I pray, He promises to listen. It's a promise. He's going to listen, and He's going to respond. It'll be yes, no, not now, or I've got something better in mind. God's prayers, when He answers His prayers, when He answers my prayers, it calms me to know He's listening. But He doesn't answer my prayers to raise me up. When He answers my prayers, just to raise Him up. It doesn't point to me. It doesn't point to things. When God answers your prayers, it points to Him. So because it points to Him, He may not answer it. Yes, no, wait, or I got something better in mind, whichever one He chooses, but it's always going to point to Him. And when it points to Him, it's amazing what will happen. You see, again, seven ups. I saw this on a sign somewhere. Trust me, I have everything under control. Now, I want everybody to stand. DC, come up here and play something, buddy. I like Mario Andretti saying, Mario Andretti, the famous racer, said, if you've got everything under control, then you're driving too slow. Look at somebody and say, God's got this. Now look at somebody and say this, because I hear it all the time now from Bethany, but it doesn't just apply to her. It applies to everybody. It applies to everything we've got in our life. Number one, tell somebody God's got this. And then tell them either way you win. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you may be here and you're struggling. I mean, really struggling. Either something has got out of control in your life. It may be something in your own body. It may be something in your marriage, in your family, on your job, wherever it is. Something's starting to get out of control, or is out of control and you can't get it back in control. Try those seven ups I just gave you. Try them. I guarantee you, as you start trying those seven ups, things will get better. You may not get exactly what you want, how you want it, when you want it, but you try it. I tell those guys, of course, Benny always gives those guys at Penitentiary Center, he gives them that challenge that Danny Williams gave them. Danny Williams was the guy that got us going. And Danny Williams always said, when you go there, I can't remember exactly how the challenge goes, but you ask God to go with you, and you trust Him and watch what He does. And here's what I tell the guys, especially the young guys. I say, I got a court date, and I need you to help me pray. And I always tell them this. Well, I'm going to pray, but you need to do your part. And they go, what do you mean do my part? I say, well, number one, pull your pants up. I said, if you go in that courtroom, your pants all hanging down, not like you care. Pull your pants up. Put your shirt tail in. Unless you're wearing a jumpsuit, then you don't have a choice. And I said, smile. Just smile. I said, go with a good attitude. Don't go in like you're bad in the bone. You're going to hurt someone. Go with a good attitude. And I start giving them ups. Pull your pants up. Pull your sides of your mouth up. Pull your countenance up. Put your attitude up. And when you go in, watch what will happen. And then you start thanking God for divine favor, because favor is not fair. You ask God for divine favor with all these people that you're connected with, and then watch what God will do. And those guys will tell me, without exception, they'll come to me and go, I did what you said, Pastor. I pulled my pants up. I smiled. I had a good attitude. Yes, sir. No, sir. I didn't go in like I was a bad guy. I went in like I was a humble guy, and said, it's amazing what happens. I said, yeah, they're watching. They're paying attention to your body language. You got to remember, they're watching. The world is watching us and our body language and how we handle ourselves and how we do things. Try to do 7-ups and watch what will happen. Your whole week will be better if you'll try those 7-ups. If you do all 7 of them, do them. If you can't do but just a couple of them, do a couple of them and watch what will happen. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you got a problem this day that's really making it kind of hard to even see up, much less do the other ones, but nobody's looking, nobody, I want you to just put that hand up and say, look, I need a touch, a special touch from God. I'm talking about a powerful touch, one that goes beyond what I can even tell you and describe. Lord, right now, there's hands all over this place. I ask you right now, Lord, in the middle of these needs that are beyond compare, in these needs that are beyond the ability to even verbalize how they feel and the emotions and the turmoil. Number one, let these people not be driven by their emotions, but let their action and faith drive their emotions and keep their emotions in check. But number two, Lord, let them see there is a light at the end of this tunnel. There is a light, and it's coming, and it's you. Father, bless them, Lord, with peace that passeth all understanding. Bless them, Lord, with a compassion like never before. Bless them with grace that they can see it, they can taste it, they know that it's you. Let them see your hand, Lord, when they can't, and let them know that when they can't even see your hand, they can trust your heart. Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, and I thank you for it. Now, if you got a need, any kind of need in your life, and you need to talk to God about anything, the altars are open. You can come on up here. It's okay. Come and pray. We got plenty of time. Come and pray. Come and talk to God. Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. And remember, wake up. Decide to have a good day. You got to decide. Dress up. Put on a smile. Shut up. Say nice things and learn to listen. Stand up for what you believe in. Look up to the Lord. Reach up for something higher. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice. Lift up your prayers and watch what God will do. judge all the time.
Yep, yep, yep. Touch him, Lord. Bless him in a very powerful way. We thank you.
God is good all the time. Seven ups. Pray about maybe taking the baton of the senior saints once a quarter, once a month, however you want to do it. But somebody needs to lead that charge. Also, be praying about us doing some kind of a total transformation support here. And also, those that have chronic diseases, support for them and their caregivers, because a lot of times it's easy to say I'm with you and it's easy to say I'm here for you. When the disease is chronic and it keeps on going and never stops, there comes a time when people that are sitting there telling you, I'm with you, they kind of forget about it because they don't think about how ongoing it is. It's ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. You know, I called somebody the other night, a friend of mine, a minister friend of mine, and I said, I just need to talk to somebody that is a lot calmer than I am. You know, and he said, oh, come on now. And so we get talking back and forth about the Lord and talking about Bethany here. That's about Bethany. And I just called him. I weren't trying to do anything else. I was just trying to call him because I get calm when I talk to him. And he said, and forgive me for being a prodigal. A prodigal? And he said, yeah, I forgot to keep in touch with you. I forgot that you're still going on with this with Bethany. It's not something that's going to stop next week. It's on and on and on and on. And please forgive me. And I said, dude, I never had a problem with it to start with. But now I thought about that thing because I'm guilty too. We're all guilty, you know, because when we're not in it every day, we don't think about it. So try to remember this stuff, people. But we're going to do some kind of support group, something for people, maybe on a Sunday afternoon, something. If nothing else, just to know that somebody cares. Right? And remember, you might not be afflicted with it now, but one phone call, one test from the doctor, one phone call, one doctor visit, and your whole life can change. We had no idea Bethany had cancer. We thought it was a cyst. Instead of being a little bit of cyst on her belly button, she was eat up from here to here with it, and we didn't know. We just thought it was a cyst. So you never know. You might be one of them too. I pray not, but if it is, then it may be easier for you to understand. But God help us. God help us to be sensitive and to realize there's people out there that when they walk out, when you walk away from them, you may not think about it again for a week or two. They think about it every day. Some think about it every hour. Some think about it every minute because of the pain. So let's just keep that in mind, right? Y'all are well and good? Tuesday night's the last night. We did our spiritual gifts test the last couple weeks. This Tuesday night's the last night of finding your purpose in God. And then we're going to another subject. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask y'all to kind of help me out what direction you want to go in the next. I know y'all like the last current events and all that, and we can intervene in all that stuff. We got to do that anyway as we're going through, but I mean something kind of, you know, something will move us the next subject, because I can't wait. I really can't wait for what's coming up. Amen. I'm excited. But tonight, this Tuesday night is going to be on myths and the truth about God's purpose in your life. Myths and the truth about God's purpose in your life. And then we're going to be through with that, and we're going on to something else. Amen? God's awesome. We're going to ask our newest deacon if he will stand and lead us out. Well, not lead us out, but pray. And we'll, you know what I mean. I can't even talk. Amen.